During each episode, a faculty representative or representatives will highlight some of the academic features and career opportunities of their respective undergraduate major area. I'm Aaron Baggett, and we're joined today by faculty from the Department of Child and Family Studies, including Dr. Tyler Horner, Dr. Joyce Nooner, and Dr. Janet Crow. Welcome, everyone. Tell us about the unique features that this program offers to students.
This is a Failing Consumer Sciences degree. Child and Family Studies is the focus. One thing that's unique about it is interdisciplinary in nature. So students take a survey of courses across our areas, which would be the Child and Family Studies obviously is their concentration, but they would also take a class in the consumer area. They would take a class in nutrition in the design area as well. So students get a good survey of all of the areas. Mm-hmm. Another unique feature is that our students do spend a lot of the time in the community in our as a requirement of our classes. So they get a lot of hands-on experience with children and families.
What types of students might find themselves being a good fit in this major?
I think students who first and foremost see children or families as the group or constituency that they're most passionate about working with, and specifically people who are in we're in the helping professions.
Sure.
Whether it's prevention or intervention, students who have a passion to help children and families reach their full potential, to try to help them with their individual development, you know, cognitively, socially, emotionally, but also with relationships within families.
Mm-hmm. Compassionate.
Particularly people that have a lot of compassion, empathy, mm-hmm. patience is very important. Those are very important personality qualities that we would look for in our majors.
Okay. What other skills would students develop or need to bring with them through this during the coursework?
They do strengthen, if they don't already have, or gain interpersonal skills, because again, they are working a lot with children and families in a hands-on way, but also things like time management, because they are asked to go out and in addition to their coursework, the classroom lecture part, to go out and spend time. So a lot of that requires flexibility, which we help them develop. Also some things that are going to help them if they choose to go on to graduate school. Mm-hmm. So some of those basic academic skills.
Mm-hmm. Also professionalism. Things like confidentiality, keeping information confidential when they're working with families and children, and those professional issues.
Skills like making objective observations of children in particular. I know we do that in a number of the courses where they learn to kind of set personal feelings aside and look at things in a very scientific way.
Hmm. And I would just piggyback on with what my colleague said. If you looked at hard skills, like on a job description for a job, students and their parents sometimes will ask, what are some of those skills? And I think my colleagues and I will work with students on curriculum development, analyzing and critiquing and writing policies. So there are some hard skills that make them marketable for mm-hmm. a variety of jobs.
Okay, good. Are there opportunities available for students to assist faculty? You mentioned, you know, being out in the community. What examples or research projects or special projects are there for students to assist faculty with?
We do have faculty engaged in various research projects, and there is often room for student research assistants at the undergraduate level to come in and help us with those projects. One particular one we had ongoing last spring, I was interviewing families that had children with autism, and I had two undergraduate students that assisted with that project, and then one that's going to assist this next semester. So they were actually going out and helping interview the families. They were helping compile the data. So students are available or have the opportunity to help with that. And then even in our classes, sometimes we encourage them to engage in some smaller scale research projects.
If students don't declare this major in the beginning of their freshman year, is it still possible for them to graduate in 4 years?
Yes.
Good. That's one we get a lot. Students mm-hmm. are concerned about that. Okay. What particular licenses or certifications are required for this field of work?
there are so many directions that they can go with this particular major, but there are some examples. They can become a child life specialist who works with, who would go out and work with families and children, the children being in a medical situation, a hospital situation. They can pursue a certification in family life education after they leave.
Teacher education, mm-hmm. we do have at the secondary level, vocational family and consumer science, mm-hmm. teacher certification. But a good number of our graduates are going out and there's not a specific licensure or certification required for many of the positions. So it just depends on if they want to pursue that route or not. Mm-hmm.
Are there, do you find that the students who have those licensures or certifications are more likely to advance? Or
those are more specialized fields. So I think even the students that don't pursue a particular license or certification are still going to be very successful.
And I would just piggyback with what my colleagues are saying, that the degree is flexible, meaning if you work in a nonprofit organization, there are many kinds of nonprofits.
Right.
If you work for the government, there are many levels and branches of government. The bachelor's degree is flexible to work in many fields, so you don't have to have credentials behind your name like RN or CPA. And yet it's also flexible, as Dr. Crow and Dr. Nooner said, that if our students pursue a wide range of graduate programs, they can go into therapy. And so behind their name, they would be an MFT, marriage and family mm-hmm. therapist. Or as Dr. Crow said, if they want to do family life education, they would get a credential, CFLE, a certified family life educator. One of my students who is now in medical school, because many of our majors consider pediatrics or OBGYN, of course, then it would be MD, right, or medical doctor. And then yet still those who would go into seminary for graduate training to work mm-hmm. in a faith-based setting, they could do that. Some of our students want to be advocates for children and families in a legal context, therefore it would be JD. So it really just depends on what they specialize in. But the good news is that if students see this as a terminal degree and that they just get the undergraduate, all they needed is a bachelor's degree to be successful and to obtain a good job, but they have opportunity for graduate programs. Yeah. So the certification then depends.
How can a student best prepare for careers related to this major?
I think the coursework is, because we do incorporate that level of hands-on learning, that's one of the best things that's going to get them ready for going out in that professional field. As Dr. Crow mentioned, that professionalism aspect, the confidentiality, their training that they're going to get in objectivity. We do have students that participate in volunteer work on the side, especially going into the child life field, because they are required to get so many hours for that particular field working in both medical and non-medical settings. So.
Okay.
And I would just briefly add, you know, with like Dr. Crow having a lot of expertise in parent education, you know, students would get involved over time working with parents, not just in the classroom, but outside of the classroom. With Dr. Beyer, who oversees the teacher certification program, students don't just learn about it in class. They have, I believe, two internships in schools actually working with students. And then with Dr. Nooner, she does so much work with child development that students take three laboratory courses at the Piper Child Development mm-hmm. Center, all of which are hands-on. Mm-hmm. And then Dr. Nooner has also done work in the community. And then for some of the courses that I teach, students will work with faith-based organizations, or they will work with elected officials in hands-on capacities. The other thing that I would say, kind of like Dr. Nooner mentioned, is that beyond coursework, we're very big on volunteerism, so Baylor can serve our community. So for example, faculty members, professors, are on boards of directors. Sometimes we will just bring students with us to a board meeting, or we'll bring students with us to a professional conference. And I could give many other examples, but the common denominator is that students' experience in this program isn't just academic in the classroom, it's hands-on and in the community.
Very good. What are some misconceptions about this field, if any?
There are some. a number of students come to the field thinking that it's an easy major, mm-hmm. that it's only going to help them learn to be, or that it would help them learn to be a parent, which it will, but they don't see the far-reaching nature of the fact that, that it is a scientific-based program. Mm-hmm. You know, we study brain development and the structure of the brain and child development. We talk about that. We go into great depth about theories of development in both the family area, the child area. Dr. Horner addresses the policy area. It's an area of study that we take very seriously. Sure. And we help our students do as well.
Sure. I would say the only other misconception that I've run up against is that it's understandable students would think child family studies, you're going to work with preschool children and be a teacher. And that's great because that's one important track that we have. But there are so many other jobs one can do, literally over 50 different jobs, not just one or two or three. Right. We have students who want to be family lawyers, family doctors, students who want to be parent educators, students who want to work with the elderly, so in gerontology. So really, when you think about it, the sky is the limit. We have the lifespan of individuals or the family life cycle from young families to older families. So really, there are many, many kinds of jobs wherever families are. And so the misperception that it's only to teach young children, there are many other things they can do.
Sure. And I think that leads in well to nicely to our next question. What are some job titles and employers of graduates of this program?
Before I even mention job titles, probably because I usually think deductively big picture and then get smaller picture, what are the different sectors of society where students can get jobs? Well, really, there are at least nine. And the only reason that I can tell you nine is because in working with practicum placements with students, that we have worked with many different agencies. So there are government placements. Okay, there are hospital placements with Child Life. There are nonprofit placements, faith-based organizations. There are also educational and university. Teaching would be another one. So you get a feel that there are many different sectors. Now, within each of those sectors, there are many different branches. And so that's why it's hard to just start listing job titles because they're unlimited sectors. So some sample titles might be caseworker, teacher, or lead teacher, policy analyst, grant writer, program manager, executive director, certified child life specialist, extension specialist for those who work in university extension. Those are just a handful of different titles, but I literally could list 50 different titles. It just depends on what they do. I'm sure my colleagues could jump in here.
Some of the specific places we've had recent graduates go, we have had students hired as early childhood intervention specialist, and that's every county in the state has that. Every state in the United States has those positions. So they would work with children 0 to 3 that have special needs. We've obviously had people hired as preschool teachers, preschool directors, high school vocational family and consumer science teachers, Dr. Crow,
case management.
Mm-hmm. We have had students going in to work with the Child Protective Services, various family organizations like that. So,
and beyond the podcast, which is a wonderful resource, if students go to our website at Baylor, we actually have separate webpage that lists current employers, current job titles of students who have just graduated, and also relatedly, a list of graduate schools that our undergraduates went into for a more comprehensive listing.
Excellent. Are there, you mentioned earlier that there is so much flexibility and versatility. Are there particular areas of the country where more jobs are available? You mentioned wherever families are.
I don't think geographically our students would be limited at all. Literally anywhere across the country. Internationally, we have students. We have a student in Africa right now working with children. So there is no limit to where they can go. There are jobs everywhere.
Yeah. There are children and families.
Okay. Well, we'd like to thank Dr. Horner and Dr. Nooner and Dr. Crow for joining us today, and thank you for listening. Is there any final advice or final words you'd like to offer to students who are listening to this podcast?
I think one of the biggest things is we would encourage majors that are interested in not just one specific job title, but to keep an open mind when they come into the major, because there is such possibility with what they can do. It's really only limited by what they want.
and just to interview as many different faculty, not just within our department, but even other departments, so they can get more of an interpersonal feel for the major. It's one thing to read about it online, but it's another to meet with a faculty advisor. It really adds to the breadth and the depth of knowledge they can obtain.
Is there contact information and your web address that students can find more information about the major and some of those prospective students' links that you mentioned earlier?
I'm glad you mentioned that, Aaron. In fact, we have a website right here. If they go to www.baylor.edu, all they do is put backslash FCS,